Without any prompting from Oppenheimer, Conant proposed what would become known 2 decades later as a no-first-use policy. The United States, he said, should announce officially that we would not be the first to use atomic weapons in any new war. He also agreed with Bush's proposal to announce a tacit moratorium on the testing of a thermonuclear bomb. Oppenheimer endorsed both ideas. The panel's argument on behalf of a moratorium was particularly compelling. They told Acheson, "It seems to us almost inevitable that a successful thermonuclear test will provide a heavy additional stimulus to Soviet efforts in this field. It may well be true that the Soviet level of effort in this area is already high, but if the Russians learn that a thermonuclear device is in fact possible, and that we know how to make it, their work is likely to be considerably intensified. It is also likely that the Soviet scientists will be able to derive from the test, by analyzing the fallout, useful evidence as to the dimensions of the device." Oppenheimer and his colleagues knew that the first test of a thermonuclear device, codenamed Mike, was scheduled for the coming autumn, and that any attempt to stop it would be vigorously opposed by the Air Force. Though convinced of the soundness of their ideas, they had no means of making their views public. A veil of secrecy was tightly draped over all atomic matters, and they could not speak about their concerns without violating their security clearances. So they tried once again to convince Washington's foreign policy establishment that current nuclear weapons policies were a dead end. But on October 9, 1952, Truman's National Security Council flatly rejected the Oppenheimer panel's proposal for a moratorium on the testing of the H-bomb. Defense Secretary Robert Lovett angrily said that any such idea should be immediately put out of mind and that any papers that might exist on the subject should be destroyed. Lovett, a powerful member of the foreign policy establishment, feared that if news of the moratorium idea leaked, Senator Joseph McCarthy would have a field day investigating the State Department and its panel of advisors. 3 weeks later, the United States exploded a 10.4-megaton thermonuclear bomb in the Pacific, vaporizing the island of Ilulissat. A clearly depressed Conant told a Newsweek reporter, "I no longer have any connection with the atomic bomb. I have no sense of accomplishment." A week later, Oppenheimer sat grimly with 9 other members of yet another panel, the Science Advisory Committee to the Office of Defense Mobilization, debating whether or not they ought to resign in protest. Many scientists felt the Mike test demonstrated that the government simply had no intention of listening to their expert advice. Oppie's old friend Lee DeBridge circulated a draft resignation letter. But in the end, the faint hope that the next administration might change course persuaded them to set the letter aside. They knew the odds were against them. At one point, James R. Killian, president of MIT, leaned over to DeBridge and whispered, "Some people in the Air Force are going to be after Oppenheimer, and we've got to know about it and be ready for it." DeBridge was shocked. He naively thought everyone still regarded Oppie as a hero.